it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Blue Wire.
What is up, Mets fans? Welcome to the Brooklyn Buzz. I'm Nick Faye. With me as always, Jack Manuel. Jack, what's up?
Ben is back, part two.
Yeah, we are talking preseason takeaways, three games into the Nets preseason. Definitely some storylines to follow. We're going to jump into that and plenty more. Make sure you check the Buzz on all streaming platforms. But I guess, Jack, let's start with Ben Simmons.
Yeah, I want to ask you first, Nick. Are you going to get a Ben Simmons tattoo?
I am not. You know, God bless that fan. Wonder when he got that tattoo. Didn't necessarily look like the best tattoo, but fandom is fandom, I guess.
Fandom is fandom. Stand-up is stand-up in this case. But yeah. I think focusing on tonight's game and Ben Simmons, because I think it's the name on everyone's mouth and on the tip of everyone's tongues. What did you see from him tonight, Nick? And what have you seen, I guess, from him overall this entire preseason that leaves you optimistic, maybe pessimistic? Where are you standing on Ben Simmons after a couple of preseason games?
Yeah, I think he's the biggest court tilter on the Nets in terms of, you know, he can raise their ceiling, raise their floor, or lower their ceiling, lower their floor, just because he has the potential to be an all-star player and, you know, has played at an all-NBA level in the past. And I think we're starting to see flashes of him getting back to that. You know, he hasn't been all-star level, but he's arguably 10 times better than he was last year in a Nets uniform. And a lot of it's just the overall look of his play. And it goes with just not only his confidence, but he just looks so much more fluid and flexible. You know, last year he just looked so stiff and it looked uncomfortable at times playing basketball and running the floor. And now he's moving well. He's looking agile. He's looking like that freak athlete, you know, that can contort his body at weird angles. And, you know, you're also starting to see some of his vision, you know, back-to-back games with over 9 assists. That's pretty huge for him in the Nets offense. And he's getting downhill. He's cutting. He's looking to be aggressive. He's searching for contact at times where last year he was avoiding contact at all costs. And that was offensively, defensively. And I think you're starting to see some of that defensive confidence as well, you know, forcing some of those steals. But, you know, they're not all positives. You know, I think his layup package still could definitely improve. His touch isn't amazing. We've seen a couple mid-range shots is nice. And he's definitely been very free with the ball. You know, 8 turnovers tonight. And some of that's the rest of the team and his teammates and getting a feel for that. But also some of that's just his style of play. So overall, you know, a real positive for Ben Simmons. And some of that hype we've heard in the offseason has actually come to fruition.
Yeah, and we're sort of hearing Jacques Vaughn echo that quite a bit. You know, we heard him sort of say tonight, you know, before the game, you know, we want Ben to sort of lead us. He played some extended minutes, you know, again, you know, he's just getting the reps under him. Another 29 minutes for him in a preseason matchup. You know, Spencer Dinwiddie playing 30. I'm not sure why that is, but nonetheless, Ben Simmons continuing to get those reps and, you know, a couple little plays here or there, Nick. You know, he had a nice little lob to Nick Claxton. So they're sort of figuring things out in terms of their, you know, offensive cohesion and chemistry. You know, there was a play where he sort of split the pick and roll and finished through contact. I think, you know, Zach Lowe's key question that I've talked about and we've talked about him sort of finishing through contact and drawing contact, and that mentality looks promising. You know, the fadeaway looked, again, I think for another game and another fadeaway from Ben Simmons looks pretty smooth around that sort of, you know, 8 to 12, 8 to 13 foot range. You know, it's pretty smooth. You know, it's fluid. You know, there's not a heap of arc on it, but it goes in, and I'm pretty confident with that sort of shot. And then I think the highlight of the game from everyone was the Nets are sort of forging a little bit of a mini comeback, and you know, Ben's driving hard and throws a behind the back dime to Spencer for a corner three, then gets a steal on the other end and gets the dunk. So, you know, he's bringing an intangible energy to the team overall. And more importantly, he's just playing good basketball. He's looking good. And those turnovers to me, you know, the Nets had like 6 turnovers and 7 points at one point. Yeah, it was a lot. But in saying that, I think you look to the eye test when it comes to the preseason. The eye test is pretty good. Ben is passing it at this stage.
Yeah, and I think it's the offensive pop he's providing a little bit too, you know, getting downhill, attacking, creating for others. You know, you saw a little razzle dazzle in the second half where Lonnie Walker hit him with a nice bounce pass. Ben went behind the back, hit Spencer in the corner. It's like those different things. You're starting to see his vision, you know, really showcased. And also that's with the spacing being horrendous. I think, you know, not to get into a real negative, but I think early in this game, you saw one of the biggest issues with playing Nick Claxton, Ben Simmons, and the rest of the guys that were out there. Obviously, no Mikal Bridges or Cam Johnson tonight. But the paint was just clogged. Everything was just very clogged. There was limited spacing. And that kind of forced the Nets into a lot of turnovers, because when the defenders are able to kind of freelance and help off so much, those passing lanes get shut down, or they just never really existed because it was just a bait the entire time.
Yeah, and DFS was cold early. You know, I think he hit
and
up
teams
a
aren't really going to respect him. You know, we know that that's always kind of been the case. He's a guy that's going to kind of sit in the corner and shoot, catch and shoot threes, and they're not always going to go down. And that sometimes is going to be costly, especially with an offense with the spacing the Nets have.
Yeah, so I think Royce looked pretty good. You know, he's got a nice little sort of connection with Ben Simmons. I'd sort of like to align those two guys a little bit. It's almost like I'm getting greater confidence in Royce O'Neal than Dorian Finney-Smith. You know, obviously people asking for that trade and stuff, but he bounced back a little bit, and hopefully that leads to a little bit of consistency and a little bit of rhythm from him from the perimeter, because that's all the Nets are really going to be asking for him, you know, with that defense as well. So the lineup combinations, you know, they're a work in progress. And as you alluded to, that having the Nets two of the three best players, maybe their two best three-point shooters as well, not in there. You know, you read into it as much as you want to, probably not as much. But yeah, I think that those are going to be some teething issues. You know, the defense still has some work in progress. The rebounding is always going to continue to be an issue. But yeah, you'd rather be figuring things these things out in preseason game number 3 rather than in game number 33.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, some of them are things that you kind of expected with this team. There's going to be issues. And like you said, Cam and Mikal, I think, you know, depending on what you think of Armani Brooks, who's obviously a young, unproven player, you know, I think those two guys are probably the best three-point shooters, but also they're offensive threats. You know, Mikal can do things with the ball in his hands. He's a real guy that's going to get attention from the defense. Even Cam Johnson, I think with Dorian Finney-Smith, the problem with him is that he's not doing much with the ball. You're looking for him to kind of pass as soon as he gets it. You really only want to put him in a position where he's knocking down catch and shoot threes or making really easy passes. And I think that's why the lineups are going to be so important this year. You know, it's like you have a scale and it's going to be very easy. It's a super sensitive scale for Jacques Vaughn to try to find the right match. And I think even the starting lineup is going to have problems at times. It's going to be important to have that first sub and find those combinations that you've kind of talked about where guys can be successful. And, you know, there are some players on the bench that really, you know, stepped up and showed some different things that maybe they could play a bigger role and they could potentially solve some of those issues to an extent.
Yeah, Cam Thomas, he's catch and shoot 3-point shooting. He's 3 of 5 from three today, 6 of 14 from the field. You know,
could probably be a touch more aggressive, to be honest. I think there's a couple more opportunities for him to pull from three. And I know he's not in love with that shot, but there's opportunities there.
Yeah, I'd agree with that, but I thought his game again was another positive, and maybe he is your first guy off the bench. He's the sort of net six man. I think it's more likely probably be a Royce O'Neal or a Dorian Finney-Smith, but I think Cam Thomas is just offensive play and offensive bag is going to provide a little bit more, but Royce has a nice sort of synergy with Ben, as we were alluding to. He had some really pretty sort of like trailing dime threes but between the legs that are just a lot of fun to watch. But yeah, Cam T provides a little bit. I think Lonnie Walker as well, Nick, I've really liked him in the open court and his rim pressure. You know, he's really sort of attacking ferociously, and you know, it's a bloodbath out there. He didn't hit any of his threes tonight, unfortunately, but he did get to the line 6 times and hit 5 of those shots.
Yeah, I already love Lonnie Walker. I can tell you he's going to just be one of my favorite players to watch on this team. He just has a very fluid game. You know, he looks like he was made to play basketball. And like you said, he kind of just like, I don't even know how to describe the way he gets to the rim. It's just so fluid. And it's just fun. He's just a fun basketball player to watch. And I think, you know, we could see him play a bigger role. And I think it's unlikely, but it wouldn't surprise me if Cam Thomas actually ends up starting. Like, I think there is a world where that could potentially happen, or he plays early minutes with the starters and Spencer leads more of that second unit, especially if Ben's starting to cook, because you can see how those guys gel. And at times when Spencer's on the floor with Ben and Cam Thomas, it just feels like he's not really necessarily being utilized or having a high usage. And some people might think that's a good thing, but with this team, I think he might be better utilized leading that second second unit and maybe even spending time with Claxton on that second unit and really getting able to run a lot of pick and roll against second units, against, you know, opposing second units. So I think there's definitely some options for Jacques Vaughn to get creative. You know, I think a Ben Simmons, Cam Thomas, Cam Johnson, Mikal Bridges, Nick Claxton starting lineup makes a lot of sense. Will Vaughn pull the trigger? I'm not sure, but I think we've seen glimpses in preseason, even though we haven't seen those five on the floor together, that that idea would work. And then you could allow Spencer to kind of just cook with that second unit, because he obviously has a better balance to his game than Cam Thomas when it comes to scoring and passing.
Yeah, I think you're right in terms of the combinations. Look, I think there's a lot of people out there not advocating for Cam Thomas to start. I think his skill set would fit well in terms of the offensive generation, but does the ball not being in his hands as much not utilize his skill set? I guess that's the sort of the other hand of things, the other side of the other perspective to sort of look at, and maybe he's just sort of supercharged six man. But yeah, I think that there's still time for experimentation. And even during the regular season, the early points, you know, the Nets have a pretty tough run to start. So you want to sort of figure some things out in terms of what five-man combinations work best, what two or three-man combinations work best, four players, that sort of thing. So yeah, when it comes to the guards, you know, alluding to Spencer, Cam T, Lonnie, these sort of guys, you know, Amani Brooks, I think, is maybe the Nets' best three-point shooter. And I think that he would provide a lot if there was space for him and the depth wasn't so strong there in terms of the amount of guards that the Nets do have. But
yeah, and they didn't need so much playmaking from their guards. You know, I think they're really dependent, other than Ben Simmons, on those guys creating a lot. You have Mikal and Cam Johnson doing some stuff, but Spencer and Cam are such big forces in terms of creation for this team, you know, individual and for the team unit, and even Lonnie for himself to an extent.
Yeah, it'll be intriguing to see how that pans out.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. I think that, you know, obviously this Nets team's not winning a championship, so there's little storylines and little question marks that are going to be fun to follow the rest of the season. And can guys develop and fit into these roles? You know, you look at a guy like Trenton Watford, that's an intriguing piece because of his unique skill set at his size and how he can kind of play next to Nick Claxton at times or play next to Ben Simmons. You know, I think that's where you can really get creative if some of these young role players showcase, you know, an ability to play on both ends of the floor.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I guess, Jack, with me bringing up Trenton Watford, mentioning, you know, he could be good in some different lineups, who's been another player that's kind of surprised you in this small glimpse of three games of preseason?
Yeah, look, for me, Nick, he didn't play tonight, but it's Harry Giles.
Yep.
You know, I think that we've sort of talked about the battle at the big man position, and you know, you alluded to Trenton Watford. He showed quite a bit in his limited time tonight, and has shown that, you know, throughout the entire preseason. So I think, and at age 22, this guy's just got a lot of skill, just really heady, as you sort of We're discussing there. But for me, Harry Giles sort of has a fluidity and athleticism and an offensive dynamism at the big man position. And De'Ron Sharpe hasn't really solidified that spot yet, despite being given plenty of opportunities to and playing okay. I just think that the diversity and the differentiation that you get from the likes of Watford, who is just has really good ball skills, has good fluidity that you sort of were discussing. And Harry Giles is a bit more of an athlete, a bit more skilled, just a bit more talented in terms of what he has at the big man position. De'Ron Sharpe's been doing enough, you know, and maybe Jacques Vaughn still trusts him. You know, the Nets invested a first round pick into acquiring him. But I think both of those guys, when we're talking about the big man battle, you know, I feel more comfortable with Trenton Watford and Harry Giles getting some decent minutes come the regular season.
Yeah, I think like Daron Sharp, and I obviously have never been a huge fan of his game or just his style of play. And that's not necessarily nothing against him. It's just the way I think centers fit in the current NBA. And, you know, he just feels like the same player. You know, maybe there's minor improvements, but I'm not sure if he's ever going to be, you know, a real impact player. You know, I think we've talked about before in terms of the rebounding, you know, it's good, but it's not necessarily always consistently great defensively. You know, tonight he did have 10 boards, but it feels like he's more aggressive on the offensive boards. Harry Giles just felt like very active, and there was just like a bit of just basketball IQ and feel to his game. He didn't obviously play tonight, but in the previous matchup, just felt like he was utilizing his length, getting in good position and understanding, you know, where he could be. And then I think you saw some of the touch and some of his feel for the game in that last preseason matchup. And it was just like, okay, there's definitely something here. And I think going to the season, I wouldn't be surprised if Harry Giles ends up stealing that spot from Daron Sharp. It seems like the Nets, like you mentioned, invested, you know, drafting him and want to give him a real opportunity. But it felt like last year he had that opportunity and he didn't capitalize. Maybe this is kind of his last shot with the other competition in house.
Yeah, because of the nature of the roster and the nature of the contracts that some of these guys are on, you know, Harry Giles could get given a two-way, you know, and get, that get translated from the Exhibit 9 contract that I think is onto. Maybe the Nets are flexible with that in terms of how they sort of do things in the roster composition, because Darius Bazley hasn't been amazing this preseason. I still think that he can provide maybe an option as a depth piece, but I think
he's like such a player that's a tease. You see all the tools and you see the potential with Darius Bazley, you know, just an athlete that moves like he moves, and he's able to get downhill. He's just very out of control, and then the three-point shot at times looks okay, and it's just like, oh, maybe this guy can be something. He feels like he's going to be one of those players that has a long NBA career, because every organization and coach feel like they can turn him into that role player.
Yeah, no shade to Darius Bazley, but a part of me would just prefer to have kept, you know, like the likes of Kessler Edwards on the roster, because I think that, you know, that guy provides some spacing. He's just needs a lot of time to grow his game in the NBA, and the Kings might reap the rewards of that. But yeah, Bazley has all the physical tools, which the GMs love. You know, he's a athletic beast, got the wingspan, you know, a decent enough defender. But I think the Nets have a lot of other guys that have a lot of skill, and I think I prefer skill ball than athletic ball, you know, if that's even a terminology. So I think that it'll be intriguing to see how this roster is made up come the next couple of months, and how the minutes are allocated, because, you know, we didn't see Mikal tonight. You know, Dennis Smith Jr., again, his injury. Yeah, I think it kind of stinks for him
because it feels like it might push him out of the rotation, because of just how there's so many issues with having another non-shooter on the floor. It feels like Jacques Vaughn and the team really love him, but it's super complicated to play another non-shooting guard with the other restrictions you already have.
Yeah, I think in moments, Dennis Smith Jr. and Cam Thomas showed some nice fluidity and some nice synergy and chemistry. So maybe going forward, that's what's aligned. So we'll see how it pans out, Nick. But there's a lot of moving pieces, and there's still another preseason game before we take on those Cavs in basically like a week's time.
Yeah, you know, one more preseason game. You and I still have to drop our season preview, and then the regular season will be here and the games will count. But Jack, always a pleasure. Big thanks for everybody listening. Check the buzz on all stream platforms.
The headlines remind us daily, the world is a dangerous place. The elites in charge say everything's fine, stop noticing, but you know better. And your gut knows that time is short to prepare for a world that is four missed meals away from chaos. My Patriot Supply has helped over 3 million families become more self-reliant and is the company Americans trust to prepare. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each contain delicious breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Secure at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save $200, plus get free shipping on all their Ready Hour 3-month emergency food kits. You're not ready if it's not Ready Hour foods. My Patriot Supply also has solar power generators, water filtration units, biomass stoves, heirloom seeds, and critical survival gear. Shop MyPatriotSupply.com today. MyPatriotSupply.com.